It's my pleasure to introduce our next speaker as well. The Honorable Marty Solberg was first elected in 1993 and served the constituents of the riding of Medicine Hat until the 2008 election. His final role with the government was that as the Minister of Human Resources and Social Development Canada. A department that's very near and dear to our hearts as that involves a great deal of the efforts that we are involved with. A role that deals with many of the issues that impact the social policy of the government and therefore of great importance to us. He's now a consultant with Fleishman Hilliard Canada, writes for the Sun newspaper, blogs regularly, contributes to the debate in the public square around the issues of social justice, poverty, and support of marriage and family. We've asked Monty to bring his thoughts regarding the importance of research policy options to organizations such as the IMFC. As a diehard fan of the Boston Bruins, we're indeed fortunate that they played last night and don't play again until tomorrow night. Monty, please come and join us. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Dave, and you forgot to mention they won last night, beating the Habs 8-6, and I mean beating them. It's great, great thing that we share in common, sympathy for the Bruins. Ladies and gentlemen, it's just a real pleasure to be here for a number of reasons. It's great to see so many old friends here, Minister Kenny, my former colleagues from the House, so many staff that I got to know in the House over the years, and of course just so many friends that you get to meet around Ottawa over that many years. But really, of course, we're here today to say congratulations to the IMFC on 5 terrific years. And Dave, I want you to know how much I appreciate having the chance to work with you a little bit, how much I respect what you and your terrific team do. It is so important to our country. You know, I have a unique perspective, as Dave pointed out, having served as a Minister of Human Resources and Social Development Canada. When I left, we had a budget of around $91 billion. It's probably around $100 billion today. We used to discover a new program pretty much every day. It was quite an experience working there. We had 26,000 employees, and it's been said that if you took those employees and laid them down end to end, they would never reach a conclusion. It's actually quite true. I experienced it every day. But you know, in my time there, what I learned is that there is a very hard limit to what governments can competently do. Governments are very good at cutting checks. In fact, they're too good at it. But when it comes to complex human problems, frankly, they're quite hopeless. And it's no exaggeration to say that millions of lives have been ruined over especially the last 40 years or so because well-meaning governments intervened and tried to replace the role of families and failed utterly and completely. They lacked the skill and the will or the experience or the knowledge, and of course they always lack that intimate concern, that self-giving love that Minister Kenny talked about when it comes to dealing with people. That reminds me of a story, actually. It's a story of Texas Senator Jason Kenney. May have actually told me this one, at one point. I can't recall. But it was former Texas Senator Phil Graham, and he was speaking one time to an audience in which there were some bureaucrats. And at some point in the speech, he confessed his skepticism, his deep skepticism about the ability of government to ever replace families. After the speech, he was walking out, and a bureaucrat approached him and said, "Mr. Graham, I want you to know that I have just as much concern for your family as you do." And Senator Graham said in his southern drawl, he said, "You think you have as much concern for my family as me?" And he said, "Yes." He said, "So if you have that deep concern for my family, all my siblings, my children, my grandchildren, why don't you go ahead and tell me what their names are?" Obviously, his point was that it's just nonsense to suggest that governments can come remotely close to replacing families. But while that's common sense to the folks in this room, it would be a revelation to those who think government can solve all their problems. Those are the people who have been in charge for a generation. Before IMFC came on the scene, it was hard to challenge that status quo ideology. We knew that those people were wrong, but we couldn't present the evidence. The IMFC is helping to change all of that. But in the meantime, a great government and social service industry has been built up in Canada to address those social problems. And hundreds of thousands of people are now invested in those programs, and they're not going to easily surrender their position because of what it means to them personally. But now, thanks to the IMFC, we actually have some evidence to refute a lot of these ideas and to start to beat back the welfare state. You know, the IMFC, I was telling Dave the other day, I've been on their website a lot lately in preparation for this, and I was looking at some of the material that the IMFC has produced, and of course you can see it all the time in newspapers around the country, and you know, one of the reports they put out a year ago, Andrea Morozik and Rebecca Wahlberg produced a terrific report called When Families Fail. And it pointed out that it cost Canada about $7 billion a year when families fail because of divorce or social family breakdown of some kind. And that's the kind of information that's so extraordinarily important to get to decision makers and governments so they can start to fight back that against that ideology that has ruled the roost in Canada for 40 years. Recently, they produced a report, I noted on their website, a critique of full-time kindergarten in Ontario, making the point, a number of points, but the most important of which is it doesn't work. It provides no long-term benefits to the children of Ontario. And the government, of course, is implementing this at a time when they're running a deficit of $18.7 billion, all because there's an ideology in place that is not backed up by the evidence. Imagine the audacity to challenge the received wisdom of welfare statists who have premise their entire careers on these programs. They won't give up easily, ladies and gentlemen, but now the IMFC is providing that research. It's amazing that there are some people in politics who believe that truth matters, but there are some. And I think eventually, over time, presenting that truth, producing that research, will have an impact on rolling back the welfare state and putting in place common sense policies that actually do leave people better off. But of course, the IMFC doesn't just do research. They also aren't afraid to be advocates. Many of you probably saw Dave's piece in the National Post this last week where he made the case for income splitting. And I'm telling you, as a former member of Parliament, those articles have an impact. What they do is they embolden MPs and decision makers to start that discussion and to push back against bureaucracies and those who oppose these ideas. And ultimately, of course, over time, as Jason has pointed out, those things can make a difference. Sadly, it's never quite as fast as we'd like, but they can make a real difference. You know, finally, I've had the opportunity over the last few years to join the team of the IMFC at an annual meeting sponsored by the Heritage Foundation in Washington, D.C., where we discuss ways to reinvigorate civil society to take up the biggest social problems of the day. And of course, if you're a conservative person, if you believe in conservative values, this is something that should resonate with you. Because it's a situation where in Canada today, we spend hundreds of billions of dollars in social programming, but a lot of times conservatives are nervous about engaging on social issues, on issues like poverty and addiction and homelessness and those kinds of things. And for some reason, a lot of conservatives have sort of an allergic reaction to dealing with those kinds of issues. So the Heritage Foundation and a number of similar foundations around the world, and of course IMFC here in Canada, are taking up that issue and trying to figure out how to reinvigorate civil society to take up those roles. And as conservative thinking people, of course, we believe, ultimately, if you think about it, we have a responsibility to reach out and help people. It's not just a self-interested thing. It's something that we have an obligation to do. And of course, it has huge financial repercussions as well, because if we can ever get a hold of some of these issues and really be effective in helping people turn around their lives, it will save not tens of billions of dollars, but hundreds of billions of dollars. And so it is a real pleasure to work with Dave and the IMFC, because in particular the IMFC is taking lead in helping establish a network of social organizations and think tanks and academics and sympathetic legislators and commentators to bring them together to work in common cause to take up that particular issue. Ladies and gentlemen, in conclusion, I just want to once again thank my friends at the IMFC for the terrific work that you do. This country is a better country today because of your work, and I'm a more optimistic Canadian than I was 5 years ago because of your work. Thank you sincerely, both as a former minister and as a Canadian citizen. Thanks so much.
I think you can tell after hearing these people why I enjoy reading their work, talking to them, commiserating with them, and trying to solve some of the issues that are before us right now. Thank you, Monty. Thank you to each and every one of you. Please have a round of applause for each and every one of you. Thank you so much.